You found the MicroConf podcast, and I'm your host, Rob Walling. In this week's episode, it's MicroConf Tactics, which is where we pull some audio from a recent YouTube video, and I talk about here's why your SaaS side hustle isn't working as expected. This is a rant pulled from Startups for the Rest of Us, where I rant about how people trying to do side hustles, most people are doing it wrong. And there really is kind of this mythology about how you should build a Twitter audience and work on 10 things at once and just giving bad advice, people taking bad advice. So this was an off-the-cuff rant that we thought was so good, we wanted to put it into a YouTube video, and now it's being repurposed here into the MicroConf podcast. If you want to see the full video for this, obviously look in the show notes or head to microconf.com/YouTube. And while you're at it, if you haven't rated us a 5-star, this podcast, and wherever you're currently listening to it, I would really appreciate it. It helps us to be discovered by new listeners, and it motivates us to keep producing the show. But before we dive into that, MicroConf is hiring a director of marketing and operations. You can come work directly with me to help me refine and expand and execute on our growth strategy. We have a lot of exciting things going on over the next 1 to 2 to 3 years, frankly, at MicroConf, including a lot of new digital product launches. So if you have a strong background in online marketing, marketing digital courses, course creation, managing a small team, and you're interested in working directly with me to help shape the future of bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped SaaS companies, head to microconf.com/jobs, and you'll see the listing for this as well as our community manager opening. If you're interested, please apply and let's have a conversation. I want to invite you to MicroConf Remote Early Stage SaaS Sales Strategies. It's an online event we're hosting March 12th and 13th of 2024. It runs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on those 2 days. And there will be sessions all focused on early stage SaaS sales led by Rachel Liao, Craig Hewitt, Daniel Ebert, Sam Howard. I'll be emceeing. And we're going to cover strategies to boost your close rate, build a sustainable sales process, and figure out how to overcome the challenges of selling as a technical founder. We'll also have daily founder mixer sessions where you'll get to meet other attendees to network and chat about what you're working on. Tickets are inexpensive and they are available at microconfremote.com. So with that, let's dive into why your SaaS side hustle probably isn't working as expected. My 7th thing that I think you shouldn't do if you want to build a multi-million dollar startup and bootstrap it is to launch a bunch of products hoping one sticks. I'm a builder. I love the idea of building 12 products in 12 months, 52 products in 52 weeks. Building and shipping is a dopamine rush. It's amazing. Getting your new product or feature or ChatGPT wrapper or whatever into the hands of people on Product Hunt and Reddit and Hacker News and your friends. And look, I'm not mocking. I mean, I know earlier I was joking about Product Hunt and Hacker News launches. Those are a mixed bag, but they're not a bad thing. Like if I was launching a product today, I would 100% want to get on those, these social news websites. I do take them with a grain of salt in terms of actually gathering customers that will stick around. But I do think there's some value there. It's probably a topic for another podcast episode. But the idea of launching a bunch of products hoping one sticks has a couple problems, like pretty major problems for me. One is, you don't learn very much, because if I launch 10 products and one works, it's unlikely I'm going to know why. It's really likely I got lucky. And again, I don't like to teach approaches that need or rely on luck. I've been doing this in the neighborhood of 2 decades, and I've been successful at it for less time than that. But I've been talking about it on this podcast, my blog, my books and everything for whatever it is, 15 years, 17, 18 years. And I've always wanted to avoid the lottery ticket approach, the big promise of you can be a millionaire tomorrow. Here's an example of this person who did just that, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. When in fact, that's bullshit. When in fact, it's survivor bias. When in fact, that's one person out of 100 who each launched 5 products, and this one person got lucky, and so it's not repeatable. And I hated that stuff when I was coming up, when I was trying to become a successful entrepreneur, and I could just smell snake oil. And the further I dug in, the more I found out that the person promoting the approach had really gotten lucky, hadn't built the business that they talked about. The examples they use had gotten lucky, hadn't really built the business they talked about. And so the idea of learning and not just being successful, but knowing why you're successful and knowing that you could repeat that again, or actually repeating it again, showing that you have the skill to do it multiple times. This is something I've always held on to pretty tightly. As someone who has been both a doer and a teacher, not just a teacher, not just someone who had a middling success and then, you know, claims I started the biggest startup and had the biggest exit anyone's ever talked about, I'm really sensitive to the people out there who oversell what they've actually done. And the folks who oversell what they've actually done usually got lucky and usually don't know why they're successful. That's the problem. So let me tell you some people who are not in this camp, right? So people who are successful and I think could do it 20 more times if they had the time. Jason Cohen, Heaton Shah, Rand Fishkin, Ruben Gomez, David Cancel, Dharmesh Shah. I can go on. They learned what it took. They had to grind. They had to make mistakes and then overcome those mistakes and figure out what is the thought process? What is the approach? What is the troubleshooting? If you never make mistakes, are you smart or are you just lucky? If you make mistakes and overcome them, you learn. You become just a little bit better as a founder. And so that's the first thing I don't like about this Hoping 1-6 is I don't think there is much learning in launching and getting lucky with 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, and then riding that. If that were to be successful, I question if you can ever do that again. You know, if you just caught lightning in a bottle. So the lack of learning and really truly understanding why you're successful, I think is one thing. Competition for great talent is more challenging than ever. Almost every startup I know struggles to hire fast enough to keep up with demand. In order to hire faster, you need a trusted source of pre-vetted candidates. Lemon.io is that source. They have an extensive network of engineers from Europe and Latin America, and every candidate has been tested and interviewed by their team. You're probably wondering, how is this different from hiring on your own? Number one, you can have an engineer who can start working within a week instead of months. Number two, you don't waste your time on unqualified candidates. Number three, you'll have easy access to global talent without going through dozens of job boards. And number four, it's more affordable than hiring local talent. So if you need to expand your engineering team or delegate some of your engineering work, use lemon.io. We have a special discount for fans of MicroConf. Visit lemon.io/microconf to receive a 15% discount for the first 4 weeks of working with a developer. That's lemon.io/microconf. The other thing is, oftentimes, in most cases, I've talked to literally thousands of founders now, many of whom are successful and some of whom are not. Most of the time, the thing you initially launch with is not the same product that gets you to product market fit. Most of the time, you launch with something you think the world needs and you miss the mark, sometimes by 5%, sometimes by 95%. But great founders then ask the right questions, have hypotheses, and they just pivot around. They add a thing, they make a guess, they change their positioning. They don't just willy-nilly do it, but they learn and they take those learnings and they build them into the product and the positioning and the marketing and the sales. And slowly they grind to the point where they've built a business that people want and are willing to pay for and are saying, shut up and take my money. Sometimes that process takes months. Sometimes you get lucky. I know there's someone out there, 1 in 1,000, who what they launched actually did get them to product market fit. We see those examples on Twitter, right? We see the examples on Product Hunt or Reddit. And we say, oh my gosh, they did it. I can do this too. It's totally feasible. And it is totally feasible. 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, whatever. There's some minuscule number of times where it's truly what you thought the market needed was what they actually needed. Most of the time, it takes you 6 months to get there from launch, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. Takes a long time and it takes a lot of grinding and there's a lot of uncertainty. And that, in my opinion, is the worst part of being an entrepreneur, the worst part of starting any company. And let's specifically say SaaS companies or products that people want. The worst part is the uncertainty when you still don't know if you've built something people want and are willing to pay for. And so that's the part that people want to avoid because it's painful. But that's the part that I believe makes you a great founder. Those are the moments, those are the days, weeks, and the months that you grind it out and you come out the other side. If you find it, if you suddenly see your churn plummet, trial to paid going through the roof and people searching for your brand name in Google and you know, you've caught the rocket ship, you're starting to catch what I call escape velocity. Once you've made it there, you can look back and be like, wow, that was hard and it took a long time, but I'm a much better founder for it. And now I know why I'm successful. And I think I could do this again. I love having that confidence, right? Of the repeatability of it. It's a disservice to a lot of those ideas, because I think a lot of ideas you launch and you get the bump and you get the dopamine rush and everybody turns out and you don't then know how to market, you never make it past that, the starting line. To me, launching a product is the starting line. People who think about it as a finish line have never, I don't know, never built a multi-million dollar product, because really launch is the starting line where you start to learn. You start to learn what you've done right and mostly what you've done wrong. And usually you've done quite a bit. And that's where you then gain the skills and you actually start doing repeatable things that, if they work, will be skills that you take with you for the rest of your life. I think if you're of the mindset that you should launch and see what sticks, I think you're probably giving up too early. I think you're doing yourself, well, you certainly are doing your product a disservice because it could be successful with work, with the grind. And I think you're doing yourself a disservice because you're never going to learn the nuts and bolts, the blocking and tackling, as Dan Andrews would say, of building a business. And that grind and actually getting there. When I say grind, I don't mean 70-hour weeks. I just mean doing things that are hard and you kind of don't want to do. They're new, they're uncomfortable, and they're uncertain. And you might waste time because you might try a marketing approach and it doesn't work. But then iterating and building those features and getting to product market fit, it is incredibly rewarding. And that's the process that can take you from being a wannapreneur, a brand new entrepreneur, to someone who knows how to build great products and great companies.